recuse himself from this part of the hearing since it does deal with the College of Engineering, and he is now seated in the audience. So with that, let's begin with the testimony from members of the Departments of Mechanical Engineering, Engineering Mechanics and Industrial and Management Systems Engineering, and we will begin with Professor Gomez. Yes, please.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to come and talk to the ABC committee. When I made the request some time ago, this was before a number of meetings that took place later. So I had requested for about 15 minutes, and I think I will need about a few at this stage. What happened is we did have a meeting where the chancellor and the senior vice chancellor of academic affairs came over to the College of Engineering, and we had a meeting. The three departments, mechanical engineering, engineering mechanics, and industrial management and systems engineering. And so there was a lot of information that exchanged and education that took place. And in addition, we also had a meeting of the mechanical engineering, the faculty of mechanical engineering. We had the meeting. And I'm here a little on a different path, actually. I'm here to, as I was asked to be here to represent the department and present to you the consensus of that faculty meeting last Monday. And that consensus basically can be summarized on the following. One, the mechanical engineering faculty support the measure of the merger of the three departments. The faculty in mechanical engineering believe that depending on the transition, the ME, the mechanical engineering undergraduate program, is expected to have a growth over the next years. The faculty also believe that the merger will provide resources to allow this growth. And we also believe that the details are not well defined at this stage. And I would add that the chair of the department, Jeff Shield, is in the audience, and he may help me with answering any questions that I may not answer well. And that's all I wanted to say.
All right, we'll go on and hear from Professor Williams.
Thank you. My name is Bob Williams. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Industrial Management Systems Engineering. And I have a statement which I would like to read from our faculty, and I respectfully request that this statement be entered into the minutes of the meeting. The IMSC faculty recognize the seriousness of the budgetary issues facing the state of Nebraska and our flagship university. We are not opposed to the proposed administrative merger of the IMSC Mechanical Engineering and Engineering Mechanics departments, provided that proper faculty governance is ensured for academic program matters, including the addition or elimination of degree programs. And I've also listed some bullets below, some facts about the importance of industrial engineering both nationally and locally. Nationally, IE ranked third among engineers as far as the starting salary for bachelor's graduates. At UNL, over 33% of our undergraduate students are women, which is the second highest ratio in the college. Nationally, it also ranks very high. We have the highest percentage of our faculty that are women or underrepresented minorities, again, the highest ratio in the college. Many of our graduates are working in traditional areas of manufacturing, but also healthcare is a big area that our graduates are working in. And we also provide the only online degree programs and certification programs in the College of Engineering. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
I think what we'll do is go ahead and hear from Professor Ballard, and then we'll see if the committee has questions for all of you. Okay. So, Professor Ballard.
Mostly you have a copy of my statement. I didn't anticipate the size of this room, so I didn't have a copy. I apologize for that. My name's John Ballard, Professor of Industrial Engineering, Assistant Engineering. I'm here at the request of almost all the faculty members in the Department of Engineering and Mechanics, Industrial Management Systems Engineering, and Mechanical Engineering. First, I want to thank the members of the committee for the service they provide the university. Adequate faculty input into the crucial decisions that come before the university is critical to the long-term success of any university. The faculties of Engineering and Mechanics, Industrial Management Systems Engineering, and Mechanical Engineering departments met jointly for the only time other than when the chancellor came to address the group on August 21st, 2009 to discuss the reduction in staff and the departmental accommodations. At that meeting, the faculty working together proposed a document that I recently sent to the committee. I believe you have a copy of that document. The document requested an explicit consideration of the concept of the departmental merger rather than an implicit consideration of the merger as part of a budget reduction agenda item. The current wording of the agenda satisfies our request. Now I would like to address the merger issue. The concept of combining or separating units to accomplish strategic objectives has been with us since the beginning of universities. The programs in anthropology, geography, and geology have been separate units, a combined unit, and now separate units again. Before 1970, the electrical and mechanical engineering programs were in a single unit. The importance of a particular form of academic structure may be overly emphasized by both the faculty and the administration. The rationale provided by the Chancellor's Office for the proposed administrative reorganization states that the proposal has the potential to strengthen or enhance academic programs in both the engineering mechanics and industrial management systems engineering departments, as well as to establish interactions that should lead to greater success in pursuing external funds. The wisdom of the decision to combine units will be measured by realization of that potential while fulfilling the unique role and mission of the only college of engineering in Nebraska. I have attached a copy of the role and mission statement of the college as an addendum to my statement. The ultimate success of the departmental merger resides in the details of a reorganization plan. I strongly suggest the creation of an information-driven planning and implementation process, which involves significant formal faculty participation, considers stakeholders, and reinforces the college's role and mission. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, are there any questions for any of the those of you are the only faculty members this time who want to testify, is that correct? Or is there somebody else who wants to testify? Okay. Does anybody on the committee have questions for Professors Ballard, Douglas, or Williams? Jeff?
Do I get from your discussion or interpretation here that no one's disapproving of the merger, you just want a system set up to make sure that everything works together at a faculty level? Is that the gist of the conversation?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I think no one opposes it.
I think that's a good consensus.
Great. I guess the only other question I have is in that same vein. And do you feel that the mechanism set up for the merger is satisfactory and will address your concerns of faculty governance and such? Are you comfortable with the way the direction it's going?
As I said in my statement, I think the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Well, what
as we go forward now, I think there needs to be more formal faculty participation.
Well, what I'm asking is do you feel that that's happening? That at least the pudding is being stirred back?
I guess I don't. I have not seen the framework of the plan. Sure. Nobody else can speak to that. That's my personal opinion. I came here at the request of the faculty, but now I'm giving my personal opinion.
Okay. Right.
So, if I understand correctly, you're asking us to separate the two issues of reorganization from the cuts in budget because the planning hasn't taken place to ascertain that the cuts in budget won't have a severe programmatic impact. Is that correct?
I believe the faculty thinks that they can absorb a cut in the budget with or without marketing.
I see.
But the agenda item, as I understand it, has separated those issues, and you are considering the merger as an item. Originally, it was the faculty's concern that the issue would be a budget reduction, but the indirect effect would be a merger. That was the concern of the faculty in the August 21st meeting.
Miles?
So I guess I want to make sure I understand. So are you here to support the budget reduction of $106,000? You're not contesting that?
No, we're not. Okay. I was not.
No one ever contested that. And basically, the signatures that were collected, and it's pretty much everybody in the College of Engineering, were narrow. I believe it was a narrow subject that $106,000 is budget reduction should be totally separate from managing three departments. It's an academic issue that the ABC committee should look into it and have hearings, but separate. And that's exactly what the signatures were collected for, nothing else.
Okay, so you're asking us to visit this merger issue at some point in the future, then?
Well, I think we discussed that at a prior meeting.
Did we?
Yes.
It appears to me that you're, with the budget item,
discussing. What you're essentially saying is whether you merge or not, you can live with the proposed cut, but that you think the merger is a good idea, that you want to proceed with it regardless of whether it's budget-related or not.
I would say nobody's opposing the merger.
That's what I mean. So
nobody's opposing, but nobody's in favor of it?
No, I can't speak for them.
Yeah.
Okay. I think in mechanical engineering, said maybe.
I think I read in what you all wrote that what you're really seeking is a more faculty governed process for any kind of proposed mergers of departments, more planning involving the faculty. So that we separate those two issues, but the $106,000 cuts still take place. Could they take place with three departments not being merged and still have adequate support for the three departments?
I think at the August 21st meeting, that was the consensus that the cuts could be absorbed.
Just trying to be clear. That's what I said. Sounds like that. They're separate issues.
Jeff, would it be appropriate to bring up, I'm not speaking for the entire committee now, to have somebody from APC kind of monitor what's going on to make sure that the guidelines are all set up and that you people feel comfortable with the merger dynamics of the situation? Don't shake your head, that doesn't go into minutes.
Personally, that would be acceptable to me, but I mean, I think that's for the committee's wisdom to decide how they want to be involved with it.
Other questions? If not, then let's hear from Dean Allen at this point. Start by saying I'm blessed to lead these wonderful guys, and it's a testament to their courage and spirit of compromise that they're saying such positive things today. We have a complicated challenge in this college. This has traditionally been a college possessed of small departments because we are the only college of engineering in the state of Nebraska. We have attempted to service all. And
As a result, we offer many more degrees and many more departments than a mid-sized college of engineering in the United States normally has. As a result, we have approximately 20 students for each faculty member in our college. Over the last 7 years, we've moved up 62 notches in U.S. News and World Report to 90th in the country. We all agree our strategic plan is to be in the top 40. When we look at the competition, the college is in the top 40 in the United States in engineering. They service approximately 25 students per faculty member. How are we going to get there? That's the challenge. Recently, we've been given a new constraint to that challenge, and that is that it is unlikely for the foreseeable future that the budget will go up. Indeed, it is likely that the budget will go down. Faced with this situation, the college executive committee, composed of the associate deans and myself, were placed in a dilemma. And in order to meet this challenge, we had to look at the possibility of some combinations within the college. Over the last 3 to 4 years, there has been steadily declining enrollment in the Industrial and Management Systems Department. Today, there is approximately 5 students for each faculty member at the undergraduate level at that department, while there are approximately 30 students for each faculty member in the mechanical engineering department at the undergraduate level. There's a great disparity. Admittedly, part of that disparity is my fault, but we're looking for ways to try to mitigate that disparity while at the same time moving forward. Therefore, when I had meetings with Senior Vice Chancellor Couture and Chancellor Perlman, this possibility invariably came up, the possibility of combining seemingly disparate entities. I would say to you that mechanical engineering and engineering mechanics are not as close to cousins as it sounds, but it's fairly common for mechanical engineering and engineering mechanics to be combined. It's less common for mechanical engineering and industrial management systems engineering programs to be combined, but yet there are cases to be found in the United States, and there are recent cases to be found. Therefore, when this possibility came up, I agreed to consider it and to pursue it, and to see if it were possible to find ways to increase our efficiency while at the same time improving our productivity in college. That process began in the spring, but I would be remiss if I did not tell you that it did not get very far with the faculty governance process because of the summer break. However, we did inform the faculty of the 3 units that this was the intention. The faculty were sent away for the summer. The 3 chairs agreed under my direction, began to put together a plan to do so. And then, I believe it was, I don't know what day it was, but in late August, I think the 21st of August, the faculty of the 3 units met in a retreat, and it's my understanding, although I was not there, I heard from many parties that it was, the atmosphere was very positive, productive, and a start was made. However, I do not believe that a single retreat makes a unit from 3 units. And I must admit to you that I agree with the concerns of the faculty. I believe that the faculty governance process is not complete. I believe that the faculty governance process should have time to wind its way to a natural conclusion.
I believe that the best conclusion would be for the three units to combine. However, that is an a priori estimate of the situation. And what we cannot a priori guess is how the faculty will interact, how enrollment will change in the future, and how our university budget will change. And those three factors will affect the outcome of this process, in particular, whether the faculty can coexist and work together. I believe this will take some months to do. If the faculty determine that they are unable to work together, I believe that that's a message that should be heeded. And if so, there are other options. One option would be to close one of the departments. We must all be aware that that is a possibility. I'm not saying it will happen, but everyone should be aware that is a possibility in this process because of their performance indicators, who would most likely be INSC. But I believe that my faculty have the ability to address this problem and to solve it, given a reasonable amount of time. The college has sufficient discretion in its budget to handle the $106,000 shortfall with other resources. We have a college equipment budget that can be used in the short run. I propose this to Senior Vice Chancellor Couture. At such time as is appropriate, the $106,000 shortfall will be accommodated by laying off three staff members if the units combine. In the long run, I don't know what will happen, but that would be the short-term solution if the faculty makes sufficient progress, and we would pay for that from other sources until that decision is made collectively by the faculty with my input and direction from the upper administration. So, in short, I will say that I do believe very strongly in faculty governance. And I believe that the issue before you today should not be, are you approving a merger? The issue should be, do you approve of moving forward with the process? Not that it would happen exactly as requested, but that the process would move forward. And if deviations from that process were agreed upon at some point in the future by the faculty and myself, that we would pledge to you to come back to this committee with those specific suggestions at that time. And that's my statement.
Okay. Lloyd.
David, when do you need to cut the $106,000? Is there a deadline or a framework there?
I've already cut the $106,000 from the equipment budget this year. My promise to the Senior Vice Chancellor and to the Chancellor was that the removal of the staff would be accomplished in this academic year. So by May 1st is when we would accomplish the ripping of the three staff involved.
Jeff?
Is that a theoretical question to ask? I have a lot of management courses or anything like that, but how do you get three departments to merge when you're already saying that the one doesn't merge, you're going to improve? That doesn't say that many people's coming together. I said you're trying to get three different units to merge into one, but you've already said if the one doesn't do it essentially the way you want to do it, they're going to be gone. That doesn't seem like
I'm not saying to you that there would happen, that that would happen at the same time. What I'm saying to you is if these departments don't merge, eventually, the only way to accommodate a vertical cut in this college that would meet expected budgetary shortfalls is that it would be possible that one of the units would close. Let me back up, Jeff, and say, if you know that we have state guidelines that we have to follow, and when you're
riffing, you have to riff an entire unit. And what I'm saying is, if we have sufficient budgetary constraints in our college in the future, that we would have to, say, find $500,000, we would have to riff a unit. And I would be remiss if I did not say that if this unit stays the way it is now, as a separate unit, it is small enough and its performance indicators are weak enough that it could be considered for closure.
Okay. So if it's merged, it sounds to me like if you're correcting the budget guidelines, it's still identifiable as a program. And it seems it still might be subject to RIF. Is that right?
That's a good question, Greg. And I've had discussions with the senior vice chancellor about how we identify a program. This, again, falls under the province of faculty governance. When the three units combine, the three units may propose to continue to have separate degree programs, or they may propose to have only one, in which case the whole playing field changes.
And along that line, the three departments now, how many support staff do you associate with each of the three at the moment?
There are six, there are two in each, there are six total.
Two in each, and so when they merge, you're going to three. Right, so, and what's the average number of support staff per department?
Two.
Two. Okay, so as a merged department, they still have actually one more than average.
Yeah, but it'd be a big department in our college.
Right, I agree. So it would still be kind of consistent within the situation.
We considered the possibility of riffing four, but we didn't think that would be possible in a department the size of our
insurance. Sure. Now, the other one, I guess, deals less with the budgetary matter, but maybe not. You said IMSE is responsible essentially for, it's five students per faculty, whereas the MEs are doing like 30. I don't understand how that resolves, because aren't the disciplines far enough that, how's that going to change the load so it increases for the one and decreases for the other?
The key ingredient is engineering mechanics. And here's how it works. Engineering mechanics is a service department in our college. They have no undergrads. They teach courses that are required across the college at the sophomore and in some cases junior level. Those courses are taken by all engineers.
Gotcha.
Therefore, IMSEs are capable of teaching those courses. So they're parachuted in. They teach the EM faculty's courses. The EM faculties are qualified to teach the upper level courses in mechanical engineering. So it really revolves around having the triumvirate to work.
Gotcha.
Shelley?
Did I understand that it's unknown at this time if the degrees offered will change, if the curriculum will change, and if the courses taught to students will change with the merger of these three departments?
You're describing issues that in my college are not my direct purview. They are the purview of the faculty. Faculty determine what they teach. They determine what courses are required to satisfy accreditation constraints. They determine all issues associated with academics. It's done through committee action. And the only part of this that is my purview is financial exigency. And that were it to become necessary for budgetary reasons to consider removing a degree program, then it becomes my province. But I prefer not to have to exercise that if my faculty can resolve these problems with their own governance.
I'd like to ask you to address some of the comments in one letter we received in opposition to the cuts to the three, the six staff. The letter says that these cuts are coming at a time when there is an increase in undergraduate and graduate student numbers, and an increase in research dollars would require additional staff support. And furthermore, the decrease in staff support will hinder student recruitment and retention. What is your analysis of that situation?
The college has, in a short span of time, become one of the flagship research organizations in the university. We do about $30 million a year in externally funded research. And the revenue from that research provides resources for support staff on the research side of the house. And in many cases, that's what's being done. We're finding that a significant workload is being shifted from the academic side of the house to the research side of the house. And to the extent that we generate revenue, research revenue that provides that capability, we do so. The staff member who mentioned this, I think, is unaware that we really do have this problem that we need to increase the student ratio to faculty. And that really goes hand in hand with doing more research as well. So we think that in order to optimize all of these performance measures, this is the least of the bad, I guess, would be a way of putting it. But in cases, as our research revenues increase, in cases where we see shortfalls of staff support, we are attempting to alleviate that problem through research funding. So I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if the revenue generated from research funding in those departments would turn out to be sufficient to hire an additional staff member on research support, for example.
Okay. Other questions? If not, then
Dean Allen, you said that the IAs would teach the service courses that are currently taught by the EMs. And who's going to teach the service courses like static statistics and econ that are currently taught by the IAs?
Service courses taught by the IAs. The IAs, according to my understanding, are under-invested in their... they have a light teaching load, let me put it that way.
Okay, so there's sufficient resources, you're saying, for them to teach their service courses as well as engineering campus service courses.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Other questions? All right, we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the proposed reductions to technical support in the Agricultural Research Division, the Institute of Agriculture and Animal Resources, and Dean Cunningham.
This happens every time I ARD has reduced
reduced their budget cuts for 25% of technical positions in half. I think we should see where they are cutting the other dollars. Now, to address that question, I have to say that this is a mistake. We developed a plan for a 25% reduction in the state support of technical staff when we thought we were going to have a much larger cut in the budget than we actually had. Okay? So the reduction, the actual number that we turned in is roughly 15% of the total amount of money rather than 25%. Okay? And that's due to the fact that we had to meet a smaller budget reduction. However, what we did is we asked each of the units that had these technical staff to develop a long-term plan, right, for the 25% reduction. Right? In anticipation, right, that we might get future budget cuts, we wanted to do some planning ahead of time. And actually, it looks as if right now we will be able to phase in the lower cut, the 15% cut, giving the units that they're experiencing those cuts a longer time to adjust by money, because we knew we were going to have a budget cut. We were able to save back some one-time money that we can use to bridge some of those positions. Most of those positions and the plans that the units are coming up with, what we did is just gave the units, the departments and the research and extension centers, a target value, and the amount of money that they would have to meet. And they can decide how that's going to be split up, whether it's combining positions. But I think most of the plans that we've seen so far, and very few of the total have come in yet. There's 20 plans out there, and I think we've seen the beginnings of a couple of them now. Most of the deficit in state-supported funds for the technical staff are going to be covered by putting more technical staff support on grants and contracts, and by using more of the revolving funds that come from sales of products at the research centers and from the research programs to cover the cost of the technical staff. Now, in developing those plans, we're going to have to look at those carefully before we approve them to make sure that they're not robbing money from things that are needed to maintain the research infrastructure, particularly in the off-campus centers, as they begin to use those money more for the funding. So what we hope is that we will be able to bridge this whole thing by bringing in more soft dollars to support the technical staff. We should end up with the same number of people doing the same sorts of jobs after we've not only experienced this shorter sort of 15% level cut, but even all the way up to the 25% level, if it's spread out over a long enough period of time.
Okay. Jeff?
This is for my faculty, okay? The faculty was asking this question.
No, you have to ask it as a committee from time.
Okay, I asked as a committee member. But my faculty cut me in the hallway. No, that's not. I'm not going to vote on this issue anyway.
All of them cut you in the hallway?
All 40 of them cut me in the hallway.
When you made these decisions, did you look at the fact that we're not cutting technical staff that's easy to put on grants? I mean, if I have somebody that's going to go out and collect data, that's easy to put that on a grant. If I have somebody that's going to go out and analyze data, that's easy to put on a grant. What we're being asked to do, in, let's say, my position as a managed dairy unit, is to put a milkwork position on it. It's almost impossible to put that on a grant. Or here's a person who goes out and feeds the pigs, or somebody goes out and feeds the beef cattle. And those are very difficult to put on a grant application.
Yeah, Jeff, the question you're asking there is exactly what I had, what I what I was getting at when I said, what we're doing is we're giving a total amount of money to each of the units that they need to cut. I'm not making a decision, nor is anyone on my staff making a decision about what cuts actually ought to be made. Those decisions need to be made by the faculty on the basis of which of the staff, which of the technical staff are most likely to be replaceable by grants and contracts. And I think in a situation like the one you just described, where it's someone who is primarily responsible for the maintenance of the dairy, that I would suggest that you and the other people that are associated with that would be wise to begin to look at the sales income from the dairy products as a source of revenue to keep that person on.
That's also very difficult when you get the commodity prices going up and down.
If it were easy, we would have done it a long time ago. I think that commodity prices are always a difficult thing. That's why we've got some clever people, looking at futures and things like that. Even some of those things are not so clever.
Why contract them on?
There's 10 vacant, 10 paid, and 4 vacant. Those are guesstimates or estimations of the impact of the cuts. Those aren't physical positions that are embedded. They are potential impact.
Am I
something wrong?
I don't know what you're looking at.
So it's a spreadsheet which describes the budget reductions, and under this item, it's listed as impacting 10 vacant managerial professional staff and 4 vacant operating staff.
It could be erroneous. I mean, this came out of the chancellor's office. It just could be. We're looking at that. Maybe that's what we have to evaluate later. So I'm just double checking to make sure that there's accuracy at least of what the committee evaluates post these hearings.
Can't tell you. I don't know what you're hoping to get. But in fact, if there's anything down there that says it's going to be these people, that's all just speculation. General sorts of things. It's going to depend on particular decisions in particular units about.
That basically answers my question. Yeah.
Is there a certain number per unit assigned, or?
No, it's a dollar amount. Not.
So it's not you have to get rid of one technical staff.
No. What we hope is that there are sources of revenue generated that means that there really is no loss of personnel.
I guess I'm more confused than that. Yes.
These positions that are listed here, first of all, they're all vacant, right? But are you saying that even these positions might be filled if you get the additional revenue, or what?
I'm not sure. If they're needed, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
my understanding, John, is actually that the numbers in this spreadsheet are completely made up as far as the actual costs.
Is that right?
It seems to be, comparing the testimony with...
It's a number that represents a dollar amount.
Right, it's really a dollar amount, and those figures are just written down there to provide... I mean, that is my understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's right. I see. The 487, the 488,000 is what those 14 positions might represent, or that it would be the equivalent.
Yeah.
Just like. Any other questions? If not, then we have reached the end of the formal agenda, but we do have. Time now for open hearings. Anybody who would like to be heard on any of the issues that we have discussed, you are welcome to come to the microphone, and we would be happy to hear from you. Seeing no one coming to the microphone, I will at this point close the hearing, and we will gather Wednesday at
1:30.
1:30. Okay, so we are adjourned until Wednesday at 1:30.